Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who is feeling unseen in her relationship. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
No, we are not. We don't know what we're talking about. We are not professionals. We are not trained in any of this. So please take our advice as you see fit in your life. We are just a supplement, and we are only here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love. All right, today's letter is from Messy and Scared, which is just so simple and relatable, whose pronouns are she, her, who is writing to us from Depression and Life Sucksville.
Also been there before.
It's not funny, but it's funny. It's like trauma laugh. Hi, Sam and Sierra. I've, 27, she, her, been dating my partner, Sam, 29, he, him, for 2.5 years. We have not had an easy time together, with some serious health problems rendering me bedridden a few months after we got together, going long distance across country 6 months after we got together, him moving back a year later after falling out with his community there and falling into a deep depression, and his mom unexpectedly passing within 2 months of him moving home. Through it all, I couldn't imagine a better person to go through life's challenges with. For the most part, save a few realistic spells here or there due to depression, he has always been so good about carving out time for me, making me feel so safe and so happy, and generally putting my anxiously attached self to rest for the first time in years. I'd literally never experienced love like this before, coming from an incredibly abusive long-term relationship prior. He also comes from a really hard relationship history, and we were both previously engaged. More recently, I have been getting to a stage in my life where I'm ready to settle down. Since he first moved across the country, I was ready to move out there and marry him, but I still want a future with him in it. However, our conversations about it recently have been misaligning. He is still very depressed, and without his mom, he said he's scared of making a huge decision without her here to talk to and be there. He is anxious about getting engaged again since his last time ended so poorly. He has also said he wishes he could be in a better mental place before getting married, but he is afraid it might never happen. This honestly rocked me, and while I understand his fears, I can't shake the feeling of rejection it's unlocked. Additionally, the last few months, I've felt very unseen in the relationship. We've both always been homebodies, but he never wants to go out on dates. He has grown more quiet to text and calls, and the dreaded, I don't post stuff about my personal life on social media, only my career, is really hitting hard. I've had a life-changing career opportunity that he just hasn't seemed as excited for as my friends have, and generally, I'm just feeling like I'm more of a convenience for him. It's like once he realizes that we're at the stage to consider marriage, he's checked out emotionally, gotten depressed, and doesn't have energy / isn't willing to put in work to get better again. I also bring some challenging background to the table with my old school family being anti-moving in together beforehand, and also my being scared to move in because he might get too comfortable and not want to take further steps. I also want to have a family, and because of health risks and just pregnancy being crazy hard, I have a hard boundary on wanting them out of me by 31. It's coming soon, considering it takes time to get married and settle and get pregnant and have a baby. He used to be so excited about a future with me, talking about getting married and having kids and being together, quote, forever and always. I just don't know what changed. He doesn't seem motivated either to want to get better. He said he doesn't want to talk to his therapist about his mom or his depression, and he refuses to take antidepressants. I just don't know what to do, and I'm so scared of losing him. But I also feel like I'm already losing him. He is a shell of the person he once was, and all of his doubts have my anxious attachment firing on all cylinders, coupled with panic attacks every so often triggered by my PTSD regarding my previous dumpster fire of a relationship. I felt torn the last few weeks between wanting to fight through and help and my previous experience saying to distance myself because he was going to call everything off. Ultimately, I'm just so scared to lose him and the love we have. I love him so deeply and want to help him get better, but it's draining my mental health as well. Is it possible to be too messy for a relationship? Am I blowing his reactions lately out of proportion? Things that have never caused anxiety before are suddenly so triggering. Is that because something has changed or just because I'm lacking the stability in the relationship?
All right, messy and scared. Thank you so much for writing to us. I'm so sorry that you and your partner have been through so much over the course of the last couple years. You know, I know that your health has been a challenge, and also, you know, him losing a community and also losing his mom, that is a really challenging place to be in. And I know that as somebody who has been the support for somebody who has lost a parent, right? Like, it's a really hard and really challenging thing to navigate, even more so than it was losing my parent, because it's not happening to you. It's just happening to somebody that you love, and it's confusing and weird. And they're behaving in ways that are unexpected because you're not in their body and you don't know what's going on with them. And that can be really, really challenging. And I'm really sorry that you're feeling so unseen in this relationship. You know, I think that you are, or that it's understandable that you're feeling like, you know, we haven't been on a date. You're not responding as much as you used to. You know, I'm not seeing us on your social media. You know, you're not excited about this big career change that's happening for me. Like, it's hard to go to the person that you love, that you want to be excited for you and want to smile for you and be there for you. And they're not capable of them, of doing that in this moment. That's a really hard place to be. So Sierra and I are going to get into some advice around how to navigate this. And I think we're also going to ask you some big questions about this relationship and what you want from it. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break.
Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read. But wait, this year there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And get this, there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era, historical fiction, my absolute favorite, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you will always find something new to explore. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup. All right, my darling, welcome back, and thank you for writing and trusting us with this letter. I think as the anxiously attached cutie in this hosting pair, I'm going to just start by answering one of your very first questions towards the end of your letter, in which you were wondering, like, am I blowing his reactions lately out of proportion? And you wrote that things that used to never trigger anxiety are now super triggering. Is it because something has changed or because I am lacking the stability in this relationship? You know, and I can only surmised or guessed based off of what you shared with me. But as an anxiously attached person, I know exactly the spiral that you're talking about when you feel even the hint of something going wrong, or even worse, when things get really difficult and things are not as ease-filled as they used to be, or like the reassurances aren't coming as freely. It doesn't feel as exciting. Like, I know the exact anxiously attached spiral that you're talking about, where you're like, oh my God, is this a big deal? Is this real? Am I blowing this out of proportion? You know, his body posture, how he's answering my text messages. What do all these things mean? And I swear I see a pattern. I see a decline. I see all of this, and this means something. This means I'm losing the relationship. It means he's going to break up with me, which means I have to leave first, or it means I need to act out, or I need to cling to him, or whatever. I am obviously like summarizing all of this lived experience, but I just want to say I know that heightened anxious period that's happening right now, where because things are hard and because you may be feeling your partner pulling away in a real way, that's exacerbating everything else, including your ability to get in touch with your intuition and make sound, rational decisions that are in alignment with your desires. Your anxiety is impeding the ability to be present and to be objective. And so I start with that, not to say you're overreacting. That's not what I want you to take from this. I start with that to say, I do think that the general level of heightened anxiety that your life is bringing to the table right now is probably making it really hard to be objective, to be present, and to actually say, well, what is happening here and what do I want to happen, versus being reactive and being hypervigilant and being hyper scared. Like, you're in a defense mode where you're like, oh my God, if I don't act, the relationship is going to end. And what I want you to get to is a more stable, nurturing, and curious place. Am I getting my needs met? Is my partner's inability or ability to show up a representation of his true feelings for me, or is it a representation of his circumstance right now? How much of that can bend and ebb towards each other? How much am I willing? How much, like, if your needs aren't getting met right now, how much of that can you excuse because of what's going on in his life and rest in? And how much of it are you saying, like, this person is not a safe and secure person for me moving forward? I know it's hard, but the question isn't, am I overreacting? The question is, how can I calm my nervous system in such a way that I can make thoughtful inquiries about my needs and about my partner's capacity? Does that make sense?
Mm, yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause I think, you know, in, my experience with folks who have anxious attachment styles is that, like, they're really good pattern spotters, and also the pattern tends to be about them, right? And like, mm-hmm. the decisions that their partner is making, and whether or not they pay attention to them, whether or not their body language is in the way that it should be, whether or not they're making effort during, you know, to go on dates or whatever, is about like them and their lovability, right? Like them and their partner's willingness to be in relationship, or whether or not they want to be in relationship, right? And so, like, part of it, I think, is also about like decentering ourselves from situations that are like so about so much more than just us or our relationship. You know, like the thing that you say in your letter of like, it's like he realized that we were starting to get to the point of marriage, and then he's checked out emotionally, gotten depressed, and doesn't have the energy and isn't willing to make it better. And like, I totally understand that, like, that's how it feels to you. And I want to disrupt that a little bit and say, like, I don't think it's the fact that he's gotten to the point of marriage, right? That he's like suddenly emotionally avoidant and checking out because of you or because of the marriage, right? Like, his mom died and he had a terrible experience when he moved away, and his community had a fallout with his community. And the destabilization of both of those things would be enough for anyone to be in a place where they can't show up in the way that they would want to, or they might have different priorities about what they're spending time and energy on, and not necessarily about, oh, marriage, I'm afraid of that, right? Like, I don't know your partner, but I could imagine that he's not afraid of marriage. He's afraid of what he told you he's afraid of, which is getting married without his mom there. Like, this, the destabilizing aspect of losing a parent or somebody else that you're really close to that has been in your life for a long time, right? Makes stuff like that so much more difficult, right? And it sounds like his mom hasn't even been dead for a year at this point, right? Like, he hasn't even hit any of the milestones yet, right? Like, he hasn't hit the biggest milestone yet. So I think the idea isn't about marriage. I think the idea that he's struggling with is the idea that marriage without his mom there, right? Like,
yeah.
How could he possibly make a decision to get married when what he imagined his wedding, what he imagined his marriage is going to look like is going to be completely different because he won't have his mom there, right? Like,
yes.
And I'm saying it this explicitly, not because I'm like trying to call you out or call you insensitive in any way, because like, I get it. Like, I also deeply understand what it feels like to be in relationship with people, with somebody who's experiencing grief and thinking like, what am I doing wrong? Right? Like, how am I showing up in ways that he's not appreciating or that are making things worse, or like all of these things that you're talking about, right? Like, and this feeling of like, okay, but like, we have a life that we need to live, right? Like, we have things that we've decided that we wanted to do that we've talked about, and now those things are being disrupted. And all I can tell you is that like this grief that he's experiencing is so disruptive that it challenges everything that came before it, right? It changes, and it's a new lens through which he's looking at the world, and it's a painful one, right? Like, it's a deeply painful lens to have to be looking through. And he, hopefully with the help of a therapist, and I hope that he talks to his therapist about this, because that was also, I get it. Like, I'm concerned about that too, that he's not talking about it, but like, that lens will always be there, and he has to learn how to look through it and not feel pain 100% of the time. But I just want to like name that, because I think it's important to hold in this moment that like, I know that you had a plan for what your life and your relationship was going to look like. So did he, right? Like, so did he. And then suddenly this terrible thing happened, and now the plan looks really different. And to a certain extent, to be in relationship with folks means that sometimes we have to abandon the plan when something terrible or monumental happens to the person that we're in relationship with. Sometimes that means that we have to be okay with the idea that things are going to change. Or if the plan really is the priority, right? Like, if the timeline is the thing that you really want, then this isn't the right relationship for you, right? Because he's a different person now that he's gone through this experience. And that means that the things that happened before are still there, but they're colored entirely differently with this grief that he's experiencing.
Yeah.
Was that too much? Sorry.
It was perfect. Okay. I think that's super appropriate.
Okay.
And I think the last note that you added makes it perfect, because if he is unable to, we're not saying stay with this person.
Yeah, and just take it on the chin.
If he's making you unhappy.
Absolutely.
Unhappy.
Yeah.
And if he can't commit to the life that you want to live, but we're also saying your partner is going through an extreme transition right now still, that he is going to be forever altered from, right? And I feel like our anxiety likes to take refuge in things like timelines, right? In things like, okay, well, I'll get married by the time I'm 28, and that means I'll get pregnant the following year, and then I'll have my next baby, and then I'll be all done with baby having by 31, and then this is going to happen, right? And you know, what's this phrase, like, God laughs at plans?
For sure.
Like, fuck that phrase. Our anxiety finds false comfort in timelines, and we make them because it makes sense to us, because that's what we do with the chaos of life, right? I absolutely, as somebody who has like a baby making body, I know the very real, tangible anxiety and need that comes from that sort of family planning forward thinking, that shared vision that you have for your life. But it has to be shared, right? Or you have to find somebody that you share it with. And I just want to say that that timeline, I think you might be holding on to that timeline right now because it's what feels stable, right? But it's an assumption of stability. It's an assumption of, okay, I can get pregnant this fast, or we're going to get married after this much time after it. What I don't want you to hear from this is you can't have concrete needs in your relationship. You absolutely can say, I only want to be in this relationship if we are both collectively moving towards a future in which we start a family. That is so reasonable to me. In fact, my next point is all going to be about open communication, that there's like no tricking people into it, or there's no game around shared vision, family planning. You got to be straightforward, you know? So I just want to make sure you hear that like, I have no problem with your timeline. I have no problem with your goals. I just want to remind you that the security that your anxiety is seeking from that timeline isn't real. None of it's guaranteed. None of it's guaranteed. And it's just an estimate, right? I think especially as anxious attached cuties, our nervous system gets so spiked that we want facts, we want figures, we want calendar dates, and we want Zoom links. We want, you know what I mean? We want everything to be as tangible as possible, because that's what de-escalates our nervous systems. But, you know, a written out timeline is just that. It's just
words on a page.
There's no guarantee. The last thing that I want to touch on, which I was hinting at earlier, is this idea about your potentially more conservative family of origin being anti-moving in together beforehand. And there's a couple things you hinted at. It's actually not about that. It's about the fact that you might be scared to move in because he'll get too comfortable and not want to take further steps and things like that. I just want to reiterate what I sort of said before, which is there's no cheat code around having to communicate explicitly and getting them and then taking their word at face value. You know, I think that we have so many terrible examples in popular culture and rom-coms about like getting our needs met in these roundabout ways. The idea that you're afraid to move in because you would be afraid of like the traditional male, you know, trope of like feeling too comfortable before getting engaged, right? You know how you solve that? You say to your partner, I want to move in. Are you interested in living together? Are you interested in getting married? Do you want to have a family? Do you still want to do these things? Because those are what I want. I just want to reiterate that there's no getting around that sort of direct communication, especially in long-term future building relationships. I feel like we've been sold a lot of false narratives around that undercurrent of them all is like, you got to trick them into committing. And like, that is not healthy. And that is not, I don't even think that's what you're doing. I just sort of like, I got that from that one line, just the essence of it. And if you don't relate to any of this, don't listen to this advice. No bone in my body is judging you right now or thinks ill of you. Like, this is just me to remind, this is just me reminding you that your best tool, your best strategy in all of this, in every issue brought to us in this letter, is direct communication, being as honest and as like emotionally neutral to each of your own responses. Like, okay, if he says X, Y, and Z, I have to believe that. And then you take what he says, not emotionally neutral, that's the wrong phrase. Let me finish what I'm saying. Hear what he says and then apply it to your own feelings and decide how that makes you feel and decide what you want to do moving forward. If he says, I'm not ready to move in together and I don't want to get engaged, and then you you can say, I want to be with somebody who wants to get married and start a family. Are you that person? Can you be that person right. for me? You know,
yep.
Does that make sense? I feel like I spiraled a little there, but,
No, I think it all makes sense. And I also think that, like, even short of some of these, like, big ticket, like, relationship escalator milestones, I think that there's even something here about, like, I know that he is going through a bunch of things. I know that his grief and depression are sort of like taking hold of lots of his life. And you also get to have feelings about how that makes you feel, right? Like, you also get to say, hey, friend, I know that you're going through a lot. I know that this is a really hard time for you. And I am here to be supportive and understanding of that. And I'm also feeling like I'm not being paid attention to in this relationship, right? I had that big promotion and you didn't even tell me you were happy for me, right? Or, you know, we haven't been on a date in such and such a time, right? And so I'm feeling unseen in this, and I don't need you to get over how you're feeling, and I don't need you to be happy. I do need us to find time where we can feel connected to each other. I do need us to be able to have more conversations about what's going on in my life, because I also want to share it with you and have your support on that, right? Like, that kind of stuff, I think, is more helpful than trying to, like, hold people to a timeline that has been hugely disrupted by what's been happening.
I'm so glad you said that, because I feel like my point was lost in trying to hold the next step boundaries, and really reminding me of the promotion thing. What about your relationship and your partner makes you feel like you can't say to them, I don't feel like you are as happy for me as the rest of my community? Is that true? I feel unsupported. You know, like, that to me is the issue here, not the timeline about when you're going to get engaged, you know?
And I also think it's okay for you to also say, like, I'm not equipped to be able to manage all of this on my own. And so, like, I need you to talk to your therapist about what's been going on with your mom. Right. Like, and I think mm-hmm. that it's okay if that's a deal breaker. Like, I think that mm-hmm. it's okay if you say, like, this isn't sustainable for me, and I need you to find support with somebody who's trying yeah. to do this, right? Like, and if you decide that, like, you need to break up after that, right? Like, I absolutely think that that's understandable. You know, I'm trying to, in this advice that I'm giving to you, and I think that you're trying to do this in your own real life that isn't just, like, words on a page, is yeah. like, how do you thread the needle between understanding that this is hugely disruptive and that your partner isn't making choices about your relationship in a vacuum, right? He's not just, like, looking at you and deciding, I'm going to pay attention to her or not pay attention to her, but instead is, like, compounded by all of this horrible shit that's been happening to him, with the idea that, yes, that horrible shit has happened, and we can create all sorts of space and compassion and understanding for that. And also, you are a person in this relationship who gets to ask for things that you need and that you need support in. And there's no like black and white, this is okay, this is not okay, right? It's all really messy. And I think we need to sit in the messiness of it so that we can be able to make more decisions that are more in alignment with what we actually want, and stop looking for this is right, this is wrong, because that's never going to happen here. Like Sierra said, like, this type of communication is, like, not just a, like, cool, we have it sat down and then we write down the thing and then that's the thing we hold ourselves to, right? Like, although that can happen if that's the way you both think and process, but, like, more so, like, how are we building the muscles that we need to be able to have these types of conversations with each other consistently, so that it doesn't feel like when shit hits the fan, you're like, we have no language to talk about the fact that we seem to be in two different relationships with each other, right? I don't have the capacity to be able to say to him, I feel really unseen by this thing, right? Like, that's the muscle we're trying to build, because there's no, like, black and white around it. It's just all messy, uncomfortable, and takes work, takes time and capacity to be able to figure out what tools we need to be able to do it.
Absolutely. This is all to say, this is tricky, this is hard, this is emotional, and both your partner and your desires are valid, because you're both going through a difficult time. So now we figure out, are your needs in alignment? Are you able to give? Are you able to bend? Or do you need to look elsewhere? I want to make sure you want to be in a relationship with this person and not just for this relationship to work. All right, my darling, we know this is challenging, but we love you and we are so glad that you felt safe enough to trust us with
Absolutely.
Your letter.
We love you so much. Thank you for writing.
We hope this helps. All right, y'all, it's Friday, which brings us to the blind date segment of our episode. Every week, we like to shout out something that we love that we want to set you up with. And this week, we are sending you home with
a book called How to Say Babylon by Sophia Sinclair. This is a book written by a poet and writer who grew
Poets
up in...
Poets never trust him.
Yeah, I know, right? They make things up. Who grew up in Jamaica, and her father was a strict Rastafarian. And so there was, it's about her sort of like growing up in that environment and what it took for her to be able to find her way out of it. It is also just like a love song to Jamaica. It is also a love song to the art of writing, and poetry. It's one of the most poetic prose books I've ever read in my entire life. It's just like absolutely beautiful. And I think that a lot of the things in that book kind of reflect a lot of the stuff that we talk about on this podcast around how do you navigate through accountability and forgiveness at the same time? How do you understand the world differently as you learn more things about it? And where does empathy sit while also understanding that people have done horrible things? It's just really good. I really enjoyed it. So check it out. It is called How to Say Babylon by Sophia Sinclair. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like access to our monthly office hours, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to all of those monthly office hours. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DM, send us your favorite relationship memes, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duveed Media, original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcasts and his music. And remember, this period of your life, this period of time and transition is meant for you to find new ways to grow and stretch and expand your compassion for yourself and others. Choosing to find new ways to continuously grow is not because you're lacking. It's not because you're doing anything wrong, but because we always have the capacity to learn new things and to change our worldview from that learning. You don't need to see the entire road ahead of you to know that everything is going to be okay and that you are on the right path of change. And if all else fails,
just break up.